Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Buffalo. News Radio 930 WBEN. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach here on Beach & Company. It's 11:07. Less than an hour left. I've been telling a long story. I've got to get to the point here. I got somebody that texted in, Mike, you're really pissing off the listeners. What was the trap? All in caps. Honestly, I'm not trying to do this fancy pants stuff with the commercials, keeping you on the air, don't touch that dial stuff. I just, I need to get to the point. I'm going to get to that point right now. So I have to be very careful about what I say about the time I spent in front of the Mueller investigation on May 2nd. They told us to remain there, not to make dinner plans. So about an hour and a half in, I realized, just like my lawyer Dennis Vacco said, they were probably going to try to walk me into a perjury trap. I heard the first of question of a series of a question that would undoubtedly lead to where I thought they were going to try to trap me. And they asked me that question about an hour and a half, 2 hours in. I can't tell you exactly what that question was, because I will get in trouble if I do. But I'm trying to get clearance from Dennis to let me bring it up in the public, and I think I might be able to. But let me tell you the box around that question, and you'll understand the real gist of my story. They asked me one question. I knew that was going to lead directly down this avenue that I expected them to trap me, to try to trap me in perjury. Now, they asked that question. I answered it truthfully and honestly, but I could tell they didn't want me. They weren't expecting me to lie to that question. They asked me another one, a second one, I could tell was taking me down that avenue. A third one they asked me, and also an even closer to what I consider to be, danger zone, right? And a fourth one, which I knew was the precursor to the jackpot question. I could tell, I looked at Dennis. Dennis knew too, because he and I had talked about this very question, and prepared for it. Now, when I was interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee, I asked for my transcript to be released publicly, and they would not do it. They said they wouldn't give it to anyone. And I demanded it, and they wouldn't let it because it was a secret, confidential hearing. I hadn't given them any information that was secret, but they kept it anyway. But from the time I had testified before the House Intelligence Committee to the time that I testified before the Mueller investigation, I had recalled some things that I didn't recall in the House thing. And I had gone to Dennis when I first recalled something, and it wasn't really material. It didn't really matter. It didn't have any bearing. It actually proved that there was no Russian collusion. But it wasn't something that that I knew that I would be asked about in future hearings. So Dennis and I, put down the answer. I was ready to give it to the Senate if they asked, and they didn't ask the question, so I didn't give it to them. But this was very clear to me that Mueller had gotten his hands, or the team had gotten their hands on the House testimony. And I had already, we had already realized that this is something that I needed to tune up for investigators. And they asked me that question, fully expecting me to omit, which is just like a lie in this situation, or not recall the answer. And they had proof of what the answer needed to be, because they had proof and answers to every question that they asked me. So they got to the fifth question. And they asked that question very precisely, very precisely. And it was like they had gone to the lottery. And they were scratching off numbers. And the first question was a winner. And the second question was a winner. The third question was a winner. The fourth one they scratched off, it's a winner. They get to the jackpot question. They ask me it. I tell them the absolute truth, disclose completely. And you could see the prosecutor's face fall like a cake. Like a cake. He was so terribly disappointed that I did not perjure myself. It was so perilous. It took me some days to cool off after this. But I realized in hindsight that they were prepared to charge me on the spot. Because I didn't realize until after the hearing that they are all on Roger Stone right now. And my perspective, which I told you earlier, is limited because I don't have visibility across the campaign and the administration. But in my mind, Roger Stone is now their primary target. Because that question that they were asking me, if I, you know, would have given them the opportunity to charge me with perjury and turn me against Roger Stone, like they turned Rick Gates against Paul Manafort, like they were trying to turn Paul Manafort against the president, all trying to lead to evidence of Russian collusion, which does not exist. So they're stuck with a bunch of people who pled guilty to process crimes, who, like Papadopoulos, lied to investigators. Flynn, accused of lying, doesn't look like he did. You know, others, all process crimes. Like, FBI asks you what the weather's like. If you say it's raining on a day like today, you can go to jail. It really doesn't matter how minor what you lie about. Doesn't matter how small the lie. It is the same felony as a big one. So they were hoping for me to lie to them so they could turn me against Roger Stone. Now, first of all, I wouldn't lie for anybody. I wouldn't lie for myself. I wouldn't lie for anyone. Not in front of these investigators. It's very serious business. Dennis had really, truly prepared me for this and drilled into me. In fact, like 3 days before, he said, Michael, I want you to come over and talk to me. This is the conversation where you tell me all the most embarrassing things about yourself that you don't want anybody to know. And we had a very frank conversation, you know. Dennis was confident after that conversation that I was speaking to him with complete and 100% candor. Advice. Number one, if your attorney tells you to tell him everything, tell him everything. Because they know what, a good attorney, a great attorney, like Dennis Vacco. No, if they have confidence in you, they stand up for you in these situations. They're very intimidating situations. I can imagine if somebody came in with a lawyer that was not a U.S. attorney, that U.S. attorney would have wilted like a flower. Because after I answered the question correctly and truthfully, it really pissed off the prosecutor. He started losing his temper to me. And got into an argument about what day something happens instead of whether it happened. And Dennis, not being able to tell you what that is, Dennis saw this going back and forth. He held up his hand and he said, gentlemen, I need to speak to my client. And the two FBI agents and the prosecutor stepped out of the room. Of course, they're in listening to us, no doubt, even though it's illegal, but they're listening to everything. He said, Michael, have you been completely candid? I said, yes. He says, are you telling the truth 100%? And I said, yes. And he said, Michael, I believe you. He called them in, and the guy started asking the question again about the date. And Dennis said, gentlemen, I am completely confident my client is answering truthfully, and I think we should move on. And you should have seen their face. They moved on. That's why you hire a former U.S. attorney who has sat in these things hundreds of times before they went into private practice. A divorce attorney or a good general practice attorney wouldn't have the stones to stand up and do that under fire in a foxhole. And we were supposed to be there for dinner, ladies and gentlemen, and this thing just wound down. I was there 3 hours and 2 minutes. 3 hours and 2 minutes. Thank God I hired a great attorney. Thank God my grandmother was sitting right next to me. Thank God my wife told me not to bend my knee for anyone. Thank God I knew that the people, because I had this legal fund up, and when I went in to the Mueller investigation, I had about 75% of what I needed for the balance on my legal bill, what I was probably going to end up paying at the end of this visit. I walked in there feeling confident that, you know what, we're going to end up stuck with some of this bill, but people of Buffalo really have our back, you know? At that time, it was like 1,000 people, almost all of them from Western New York, had given to the fund. Like 1,000 people. I mean, a lot of you were listening. So I walked in there, lawyered up perfectly, absolutely covered by my grandmother's urgency of truth, and knowing that I had a whole lot of people standing right behind me. Thing wound down in 3 hours, ladies and gentlemen. I came out carrying my shield, not on it. Next, I want you to look at this video on my Facebook page, Michael R. Caputo. I'm going to get right to it when we get back because I got something for you afterward. We'll be right back after these messages here on WBEN.
Come back with your shield. Or on it.
Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. We've been talking about my appearance before the Mueller investigators on May 2nd. So, it is, 11:23 here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to take some calls in the last half hour, but I want to tell you a couple of things. So this thing wound down after they failed to trap me and to spring a trap on me and catch me. I felt good, as I could tell they were losing steam. There were longer and longer pauses between their questions. They rifled through more and more paper. And the prosecutor, who was not a nice person, I'm not going to friend him on Facebook, Mr. Z wasn't as mad anymore at me. He appeared to be mad that this was not going the direction that he wanted it to go. We got friendlier and friendlier toward the end, and it was clear at about 3 hours, or at about 2 hours and 50 minutes, that it was coming to the end. And 3 o'clock came along. Dennis had them dismiss it. I got to tell you this. At one point, they wanted me to check my text messages on my phone, which I volunteered to do, and show them text messages between me and someone else. And you could not get any signal in these rooms designed for no electronics. So they took me into this forlorn, kind of ugly, drab break room. It was really sad in there. And there was a woman sitting there eating her lunch, and she looked like, a zombie. She was staring off into the distance, eating her food. Just like sad, bureaucratic lunchtime. And anyway, I went in there to stand next to the window, which was the only place they could get cell phone coverage, was this window in the break room, which, by the way, smelled like Hot Pockets. Indeed, the entire break room was filled with a steamy smell of cheese and horrifically burned pastries. Oh, my gosh. So we got done and we finished up and they said, okay, well, we'll take you in the private car again back to the hotel, drop you off, and you can be on your way. And I said, no, I think I want to walk out and talk to the reporters. And Mr. Z turned to me and he said, Mr. Caputo, do not go to the reporters' stakeout downstairs. And I said, so now I've lost my First Amendment right? And he said, Mr. Caputo, you can talk to anyone you want to. In fact, we listen to you on television, every word you say. But nobody who has ever been interviewed by this team, 40-plus people, has ever spoken at that stakeout outside. And it was, he just got right back to that mean place again. He was nasty. And I'm like, well, I intend to speak to the media. He says, I don't care if you speak to the media, but I don't do it at the stakeout. It struck me at the time, at the moment, that he was trying to get me to stop talking. But indeed, Dennis told me after he asked them to leave the room again, and he said, Michael, listen, they don't care if you talk to the media. Just don't talk to them in front of their building. They don't want crazies figuring out where they are. I'm like, oh, well, heck, I can just have the ABC car meet me somewhere else, and I'll go, okay, so sure. So I apologized to Mr. Z. I said, I misunderstood you. And he actually apologized to me as well and said, I didn't mean to get nasty, but, you know, we're concerned. I get that concern because, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, this whole investigation is completely off the rails, and it's making people crazy. I think if someone is inclined to do bad things, these guys, you know, they're in peril themselves, these investigators. They have to be careful because there are a lot of nutty people out there. So I agreed, right? I went to the ABC. Things went on. Days went by, and I realized that they're entirely focused on Roger Stone. Entirely focused on Roger Stone, in my perspective. And that is really turning into something compelling, remarkable, shameful, disgusting. Because they know now, ladies and gentlemen, that they have no proof of Russian collusion. They know now that their investigation is going to fail. They know now that the politicians set them up with a loser of an investigation. These FBI agents, I think they know it more than anyone. They were actually pretty nice and pretty accurate in the office. It's these career-minded bureaucratic prosecutors who are hoping to get a gig on CNN after this or to be made a U.S. attorney in Baltimore or something, right? Or to run for office in their home state of Massachusetts, right? They're really upset that they got a stinker of an investigation. If you know this guy Weissman, one of the lead investigators on the Mueller investigation, he actually was involved in the Enron investigation and destroyed the company called Arthur Anderson. And there were 25,000 people who lost their jobs because of him overreaching, and his case against Arthur Anderson was overturned. He's also held information away from investigations that would have vindicated the people he was prosecuting. Hit it. And he makes these mistakes when he feels like he's holding a pig in a poke. That's why we're in danger right now. That's why Roger's in danger. He's the last man they're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, when they realize they got a pig in a poke. Now Weissman's going to overcharge. He's going to get aggressive on my best friend. So I got something for him, ladies and gentlemen. Check my Facebook. I'll check that video. We'll talk about that when we come back after these messages. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Beach and Company. News Radio 930 WBEN 1137. Beautiful day in wonderful downtown Amherst, New York. Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach, who's got a day off. I'll tell you what, I have been asked this story, and I've been promising people I would tell them. It has taken me 2.5 hours to tell it. This was undoubtedly the most difficult week of my life when I was in front of the Mueller group. But I learned a lot of important lessons, but for myself personally, which I'll keep to myself, but I need to listen to my wife more than anything. I certainly need to keep listening to my grandma. But, by the way, cash code again is jacket, in case anybody's looking. Jacket. There are some things I learned about the investigation. In my perspective, they have nothing. I would not have a complete perspective. I know that. All you leftists out there listening, whose heads are exploding, let me tell you something. You got nothing. You got nothing, just like you got nothing against the other people you've gone after politically with your legal power. Listen, if you think Steve Pigeon and Christy Mazurek, who have been who have been attacked by Schneiderman, the attorney general who beat women, if you don't think that was political, you're smoking something. We have a Democratic Party that makes a habit of weaponizing the legal system. They do it locally. They do it nationally. I'll tell you, after several days of hindsight and really breathing easy and feeling better, I saw our GoFundMe and private donations go over $300,000. I knew that I was not going to be in any legal trouble as long as I didn't interfere with the investigation. I knew that I could talk. And so I'm going to talk, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to speak up on television, radio, and print. I am not afraid because I know you got my back. Take a look at my Facebook if you haven't yet. There is a video. Play it. I want to tell you what that is. It's going to piss you off. If you look at the white truck and look on the front of it, that is what they call a kingfish MC catcher. The white truck, if you look at the back, that is a surveillance cap on the back of that truck. That truck had circled the house where this video was taken for days. This is the home of the mentally handicapped brother of a friend of mine who works for Roger Stone. That IMSI catcher it's a cell phone tower mounted on the front of that truck. It's a cell phone tower that you know how your cell phone works, the cell phone goes to the closest tower for the best reception. So when it drives by your house, they can listen, they can identify you, they can track you. That catcher is standard issue for the FBI. He didn't run out there and look at the license plate and see if it said FBI on it. But that same rig, same type of rig, has been seen out in front of Stone Associates houses in Missouri and other places. This is out in front of a mentally handicapped man's house. This man would get into his car to take his dog to the dog park and be followed by this vehicle. When he went to the dog park, the vehicle would park there and wait for him to get on his cell phone. And just wait for him. And then when he left with his dog, follow him home. Did it three times. Following the mentally handicapped. Now, the handicapped person's brother is an associate of Roger Stone, a ghostwriter who had nothing to do with the election or any of the Trump stuff. And it's very known that he's not. So the Mueller people are not looking for Russia collusion from Roger Stone. They're looking to jam him up on jaywalking, you know, a traffic ticket of some sort, you know, some kind of financial crime that they can create from whole cloth because, ladies and gentlemen, they are creating crimes. These are not just people. They're creative people. They are creating crimes. Roger Stone, they're not going to find any Russian collusion. There was none. He's a big mouth. He brags a lot. He bluffs a lot. He was trying to make himself relevant to the 2016 election that he had been, you know, remember, Roger Stone started the president, convincing the president to run for president in 1987. He's known President Trump that long. He is responsible for taking him there. And then he lost his job in an argument in August of 2015. So he couldn't even participate on the front lines of the election that he created. So he was trying his hardest, working on side projects that were anti-Clinton, never spoke to, you know, the Russian government, never had Hillary's emails in her hands, etc. But they're after him, and because they're looking at this guy who had nothing to do with it. He was writing for Roger's lobbying clients, which were domestic sugar clients. They're looking at him. They're not looking for Russian collusion. They have interviewed associates of Roger Stone who have not worked for him for 3 and 4 years, who hate Trump. One of Roger's former aides is one of the biggest Trump haters I ever met. Hates him. They called him, they went and interviewed him. So they're not after Trump campaign information. They're after information to jam up Robert Stone. Roger Stone's not going to be able to flip anything to them on Donald Trump. If Paul Manafort can't do it, and Rick Gates can't do it, and all these other people they've tried to jam up can't do it, Roger Stone can't do it. So they're trying to punish Roger Stone. That's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about punishing the president. It's about ruining the president, ruining his family, ruining his businesses, ruining his friends. Because in 15 years, when another billionaire wakes up and he realizes his country has gone to hell, he's going to say to his wife, honey, I'm the only one that can fix this because I got a thick skin. I may not be politically correct and all my views aren't going to be so popular, but I can fix this. You know what his wife's going to say to him? You're crazy. Didn't you see what they did to Donald Trump and his family and his businesses and his friends? You're nuts. That's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you what else it's about. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all their minions were spying on the Trump campaign. And if you think the spying started when the news tells you it started, I know different. I can't tell you why, but if you think the spy inside the Trump campaign is the only news about the government trying to get in there, I got something for you. Watch the news, ladies and gentlemen, because it's coming out, and it's coming out soon, because I'm putting it out. There was more than just one guy trying to spy. They were coming at us from every direction, and not just from the FBI. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were spying on the Republican candidate for president of the United States. And this Russia investigation is about trying to stop us from looking at them, from investigating them, from putting their fat backsides in jail. That's what this is about. That's why I had to sit there and almost get pulled into a perjury trip. That's why they're circling a mentally disabled man's house. That's what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. God bless it. I'm telling you, it's true. If I came to you 3 years ago and I said, see that white truck outside my friend's house? It's the FBI listening to his phones. You'd have said I'm crazy. But you know now today, right? I'm not. It's true. If I told you 3 years ago that there would be spying on the Republican candidate for president and that they would try to gin up a special counsel investigation and put people in jail for nothing so that they can protect themselves from being found guilty of their own crimes, you just said I'm crazy. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. And the president yesterday put his foot on their throat. He said, that's it. We're going to investigate who was coming into this campaign and who was spying on us. And you know what? You leftist twits, you who are so hateful and bathe in the blood of my family every day, who delight in the fact that you almost drove us broke, but you can't. Please, I got people that got my back. You can't touch us. All you sick, twisted, leftist twits. We're coming for the people who did this. We're coming now. Right now. Watch the news, ladies and gentlemen. I got more for you. There's a lot more coming. My experience at the Mueller campaign, it won't be my last. I can tell you. They're going to call me back in because they told me they're listening to everything I say. I know they're listening to this. They're waiting for me to cross a line they can bring me in. Bring me in, ladies and gentlemen. Bring me back. You want to take me back in? I'll go in. I'll tell the truth again. I'll beat you again. And then I'll come out and I'll hang your scrotums from the highest tree. I've had it with this. You can't undo an election because you're a leftist twit. You can't put people in jail because your queen lost fair and square. You can't drive my family into the poorhouse just because your candidate forgot to go to Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. You lost. And you know what? The pigeons are coming home to roost. Look at that video, ladies and gentlemen. They're surveilling mentally handicapped people. We'll be right back after these messages.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Oh, damn you!
I have not been able to take any phone calls. I am very sorry about that. I've been needed to tell this story. I haven't given the whole version of it to anyone. Not even my wife. I came back from Washington that week after so much. I mean, afterward, I just went on TV and tried to help. I mean, I said, they've got the answers to all the questions. I didn't feel like I could say perjury trap that day or the day after that. But I was trying to send a signal to the president and everyone that they're out for perjury to trap you in a lie, to try and make you lie through conning and clever questioning so that you have to give them further information because you're up against it and they're gonna try and get you on jaywalking. I was trying to tell people who were still out there that they're after Roger Stone, that they want, and they're going to conjure up some kind of fake crime on him. Roger is not a wealthy man. He's done well in his life, but he's lived very large. He doesn't have the money to have a multi-million dollars worth of legal fees, but that's where he's going. You know, I hate when people say, this is not our nation. This is not the country we've become. Listen, this has been going on for 2 years, not one. I love when the media says it's a one-year anniversary. It's not. They know it. They want to put the one-year anniversary bug on it so they can say it's really not that old. Honest to God, ladies and gentlemen, this has been going on for 2 years that we know. They have been investigating the Trump campaign for Russian collusion for 2 years. And let me tell you something. When the news comes out in the next several days, you're going to hear that the Obama administration was already trying to get into this campaign before that. How do I know? You're going to find out. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a witch hunt. I haven't been comfortable saying that because I have friends in the FBI who I like very much, but the FBI hates this as well. I know people in the FBI that think that Comey's going to be prosecuted. And I believe they like the idea. The FBI, ladies and gentlemen, is better than this. The Department of Justice, their politicians, the assistant U.S. attorney across from me in that interrogation, he's going to run for office or try to become a CNN talking head. But these FBI guys, the rank and file special agents in the FBI, they're just the facts, ma'am. They're Joe Friday. They want to pursue crimes. They don't want to identify your political enemy and then try to find crimes, which is where we are today. That's where we are. They know they hate Donald Trump. I've told you they need to destroy him and everyone around him to make sure no other Donald Trump comes out ever again. But we've turned a corner, ladies and gentlemen. And the leftists in our town, the Just Add Water Instant Protest Group, the people you see out there, who are, like, for example, hate so much Chris Collins and David DiPietro because they're huge supporters of the president. These stinky, face-tattooed weirdos, they hate the fact that this is coming apart. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. They were spying on the Republican candidate for president. We know that, all right? We're going to find out they've done much more than that. But okay, look how they've weaponized the Department of Justice under the entire length of the Obama administration. Remember Eric Holder? Remember Fast and Furious? These people have turned the power of the federal government, like the IRS, against their political opponents for years, 8 years. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the culmination of it. And the tide is turning. It is over for them, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to take some time. They're going to mock us. They're going to mock the president. They're going to talk about the size of his hands. But it's over. I am going to so much enjoy watching this collapse around them. I am going to get some more popcorn. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time today. Here on News Radio 930, WBEN.
And it is noon here at WBEN. That means it's time for this hour's cash code. Something we all can use on Monday. HUG. H-U-G. Text HUG to 72881 for your chance at $1,000.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.